Before we get started with the business of the assembly, I want to thank you for being with us today. This virtual RA is unlike anything we've ever done before. So I appreciate your patience and your understanding as we move through something that's new to all of us. May you live in interesting times, the saying goes. Often the question is whether or not that's a curse or a blessing. It's clear that what's happening to family and friends around us in this health crisis can only be seen as a curse. That said, when I look at the many aspects of this crisis from my vantage point as MEA president, I'm reminded constantly of why I'm so proud of this union. I'm proud of our members, K-12 through higher ed, EA, and ESP, and the amazing work being done to help students and communities in every corner of Michigan. I'm proud of the work we've done for the past few years, making MEA into the strongest voice for the education profession, a voice that's helped us to be successful advocates for our members, our schools, and our students in these unprecedented times, a voice that helped us to truly be champions for education. I'm proud of our dedicated staff who have worked so hard to advocate for our members and our cause and stay on top of so many complex issues that have developed in such a short time. And I'm proud that we helped elect a governor who listens to us, who works with us. Working with us to ensure that our members have what's necessary to meet students' needs. Throughout my career, I've always believed that elections matter, and these past few weeks have been the proof of that. That's why it's my great pleasure to turn the microphone over to our amazing governor. And hopefully she'll be able to hop on the line and say a few words. Governor Whitmer, are you with us?
I am, Paula. Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation to take a few minutes out of your important meeting to acknowledge kind of this moment that we're all navigating through and the heroic work that the people on this call are doing every single day. And I just wanted to thank you. This has been a tough time, and every executive order that I've had to sign comes with a burden and weighs heavily on me. And the first one was taking our kids out of school and knowing how important education is to our kids and, balancing that with the fact that kids also get their meals at school and that, I need to keep people safe. It was hard, but it was the right thing to do, and I, in the wake of it, gotten to see some phenomenal things happen from our teachers and our parapros and our administrators and our bus drivers and, everyone who's a part of the school ecosystem has stepped up in creative and meaningful ways to reach out to their students. You know, I'm becoming an expert on Zoom and Skype, but I know our teachers have done amazing things with Zoom and Skype, sending letters, dropping off meals for families. Our educators are all going above and beyond the call of duty, and I even saw a teacher on Twitter who was using Zoom to help her students meditate. And I think that's an incredible skill that I'm hoping some are being able to develop. We announced a partnership with Headspace yesterday, and I hope you'll go online and check it out, because I think it's in these moments of high stress and fear of the unknown, I think it's really important to take care of ourselves, and that goes for everyone on this phone. You know, a few weeks ago, I signed that order to close our buildings to students for the remainder of the year. Our dedicated educators, teachers, secretaries, parapros, custodial, cafeteria workers, everyone, we are planning to make sure that they get paid for the remainder of the school year. All in-person instruction for K-12 students is suspended, but while school buildings are closed for the remainder of the year, it doesn't mean that our kids stop learning. And so each district is developing their ultimate learning plan for students to continue their education at a distance. Plans will be different based on the different districts. They're going to be locally driven and reflect what is in the best ability of the community and the best interest for the community. That means learning by phone in some instances, by mail or online. Project-based learning, paper packets, telephone lessons, things like that can be used as a means of alternate mode of delivering instruction. And districts have got to make sure their plans are appropriate and accessible for families in their schools. If the plan relies on some online instruction, the district should ensure every student has access to an appropriate device with an ability to connect to the Internet. My administration is working incredibly hard on that front, and we're hopeful that we will have some additional supports for you in the quest to meet your students' needs. Students and families are not going to be punished if they can't participate in their alternate learning plan. I know that, you know, these are values that I've cited and things that we're going to adhere to, and I know it still raises a lot of questions, and I know it's hard, and that parents and students and educators are understandably frustrated, and I'm frustrated too. You know, I've got two high schoolers, one who's a senior who's missing out on that milestone graduation, and the other's a junior trying to figure out how she takes an SAT and applies to college. But, you know, we know that this is the best thing we can do for the health of our kids and the tens of thousands of educators who work in our schools. We will rise to this challenge together. We will get through it together. And we've got to protect people from the spread of COVID-19 right here and now, but make sure that we can continue to move forward. So I appreciate your incredible dedication, the time and energy and, you know, heart that you put into the job every day. And I just wanted to say thank you for helping us navigate and helping your students navigate this incredibly unprecedented moment and doing it with such grace. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us today, and thank you for your leadership. We are proud to stand with you in this fight to protect the health and safety of everyone in the state. We appreciate the partnership we have with Governor Whitmer and her team. Throughout this crisis, we've been in constant contact with the governor's office advocating for what is best and what is in the best interest of our members and our students. This is a terrible situation, and the decision to close schools for in-person instruction for the year is heartbreaking for every one of us. But we've worked together to make the best of what we can of a bad situation, ensuring that we continue student learning as best we can, and that the trusted voices of educators are part of locally developed plans just to do that. We've made sure that students continue to get food and other services they need while ensuring to keep school employees safe and healthy. Most of all, I'm pleased we've advocated for and got the commitment to continuing to pay all school employees for the balance of this school year. From the night she announced the first school closure, Governor Whitmer was clear in expressing her belief that school employees needed to continue being paid, and her executive orders followed through on that belief. Our advocacy helped to ensure that. And, to be blunt, our members' votes and our collective political action helped ensure that, because it's safe to say that the outcome would have been very different with Bill Schuette as our governor. Elections matter. I've said it time and time again. And they'll continue to matter this fall, when we must take back this country from the likes of Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos. We now have a presumptive nominee to get us back into winning the presidency, Vice President Joe Biden. Just as we did in 2018 with Gretchen Whitmer, MEA and our members will work hard to elect Joe Biden, a true friend of public education and labor. Campaigning in a post-coronavirus world will probably look different, but we all must have the critical conversations with voters about our issues and why, for the sake of our students, our profession, and the cause of public education. We must win in November. To support that campaign, we need to raise PAC funds, which is why I'm asking all of you to go online today to neavotes.org to make a contribution. At this RA, we'd normally be raising a lot of PAC funds to help elect friends of public education, from local school boards to presidency. I'm asking you, though I know that it is maybe a financial burden during this time, I am asking you, consider, make that contribution today online so we can take that fight to Betsy DeVos and win the elections at the federal, state, and local level. The federal level to ensure that the president is in the hands of a pro-public education-friendly president, that we get rid of Betsy DeVos in the state, that we give Gretchen Whitmer partners to work with in the House and in the Senate, and at the local level, that you have partners locally who will help you do the work you need to do. Again, that web address for giving to PAC is neavotes.org. NEA, capital VOTES dot ORG. NEAvotes.org. Giving to PAC is just one way that our members give of themselves to be champions for education. Since this crisis began, I've been brought to tears time and time again by how our members have stepped up to help our students and our community. In Alpena, bus drivers, food service workers, paraeducators, teachers, and administrators joined together to distribute breakfasts and lunches to the households with children. All in a 604-square-mile school district, they call it the largest meal on wheels. And at SEGO, nearly 30,000 meals were handed out in 2 weeks, with school employees aided by police officers and firefighters. Donations of personal protection equipment to hospitals and medical providers, like a network of school robotic teams that donated safety goggles from their supply rooms and grew into efforts to make face shields for 3D printers. Across the state, school districts have donated PPE from science labs and career technical program labs to ensure that the medical professionals in our communities were safe. Countless FaceTime and Zoom check-ins, if only so students can see a friendly face and share what's going on in their lives. Educator caravans through neighborhoods from Flint to Grand Ledge to Monroe. Innovative learning opportunities developed on the fly, often without adequate resources or professional development. Our amazing Teacher of the Year, Tara Lovey of Rochester, along with former Teacher of the Years and Regional Teacher of the Years, and the Michigan Department of Ed, putting together smart guidance for remote learning that focuses on the flexibility and collaboration we need during this time, on student mental health and emotional health, focusing on continued learning about best practices through professional development. These are just a few of the Herculean efforts we've seen in the past month. But one thing remains clear. While we can and must strive to deliver normalcy to our students, nothing about this is normal, and nothing we can do right now will fully replace the face-to-face personal connection we have and the relationship we build between our students and our members. Remote learning may be our reality right now, but it will never replace what we as educators can do in person for our students. We know all too many students who don't have a home life that's conducive to learning. We know the personal economics of families get in the way of education, especially with the number of unemployed workers we have in our state today. And because of the digital divide, we know that we need to focus on remote learning, not just online learning, because too many students don't have access to internet or connected devices for learning. We have to recognize these realities, but we will not let the realities stop us from trying our best to meet the educational, social, emotional, and physical needs of our students, because the dedication and drive of our members is boundless. So too is that of MEA staff, who have worked tirelessly since this crisis began to support our members and advocate for their needs so they can focus on serving their students. Working with districts to settle issues around continuity of learning plans and continuation of pay, protecting members' legal rights, developing resources and professional development to help members meet the needs of our students in our current climate, keeping members informed about new developments, lobbying and Lansing to make sure that their voice is there when we are making decisions and making sure that the necessary actions are taken for students and schools, employees alike. Again, nothing in this crisis is perfect, but thanks to the amazing work of MEA staff, we are able to navigate these uncharted waters to be advocates for our students and our members across the state. MESA and MEA Financial Services have been hard at work too, protecting the physical and financial health of our members in this crisis. I appreciate the efforts of every one of our staff and their commitment to our members and to the cause of public education. I appreciate what you're doing as union leaders for your colleagues, your students, and your communities. I appreciate our state government leaders for doing what needs to be done to protect citizens. I appreciate Michigan workers, including my own son, who works at Kroger, helping to make sure that our communities are fed and safe during these times. I appreciate our families and friends and neighbors for doing their part and staying home. And last but not least, I appreciate what our medical professionals are doing every day to help those who are suffering from this virus. The sacrifices being made by doctors, nurses, and first responders, and everyone in the medical profession are unbelievable. They deserve our support and our eternal thanks. That's why MEA is a partner in the effort called Operation Compassion. Again, that's hashtag Operation Compassion, an online petition and PR effort to show that we're all standing together with healthcare and other frontline workers and staying home to protect them. To sign the petition and share it with your friends, please visit www.mycompassion.com. That's www.micompassion.com. It's important that we show solidarity in this effort to support those people on the front line. Once again, please go to www.micompassion.com. This crisis is affecting all of us in different ways. Too many of us know someone who has gotten sick or who has died. The grief and the anguish are real. We must take care of each other. And we will do that together. We must do that together. The strength of the union is always about the power of collective action, what we do together, and how we'll overcome this crisis together. We will continue to stand together, believing in each other, and truly being the champions for education that our students and our colleagues deserve. And we will see our way through this to a brighter day together. Thank you.